Green Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a Packers game this upcoming Sunday, a very meaningful game against the Minnesota Vikings. To talk about that game and to give us a little visitor's guide to the city of Minneapolis, we have Adam Check joining us on the phone right now. Adam of allgreenbaypackers.com, of the Associated Press, formerly of the Maple Street Packers Annual. Adam, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. We've had you on the show before. It's probably been over a year now, but glad to have you joining us once again. You're from the Minneapolis area, Adam. Like I said, I mean, you cover a lot of Minnesota sports aspects for the Associated Press, things like the Twins, the Gophers, et cetera, et cetera. What part of Minneapolis do you actually live in?
I'm actually in St. Paul,
okay.
which is only about 5 or 6 miles from Minneapolis. But yeah, like you said, I'm in Minneapolis often covering games or going out and about, and really Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's they're two very different cities, even though they're right next to each other. Minneapolis is more your kind of hip, urban, big city type of vibe and atmosphere. St. Paul is more like a really big, small town. They have lots of neighborhood bars. It's quieter, a little more sleepy. Both of them are good. I have no complaints about the Minneapolis-St. Paul area besides their football team.
Yeah, I think a lot of Packer fans would say the same. If I'm a Packer fan and I'm there for the weekend, let's say, I've got some time to waste on Saturday, what are some tourist attractions in the area, things I might do on a Saturday afternoon to waste some time?
Well, if you're heading in, if you're staying in Minneapolis, there's the Mill City Museum is always interesting. It's a big kind of restored flour mill. Way back in the 1920s and 30s, Minneapolis was big in making flour, and we had three or four different mills, and the city restored one. And you can take tours. You can go up to the top of their tower and look over the whole Minneapolis-St. Paul area. It's really kind of an interesting tour. If you're free at night, there's all kinds of theaters in Minneapolis and St. Paul. If you're looking to see like a Broadway-style show, there's the Guthrie Theater, the Orpheum Theater, the Pantages Theater, State Theater, you name it. There's a whole street full of theaters that show, you know, your kind of big-time Broadway type of plays. And if you're feeling adventurous, there's also all kinds of smaller theaters throughout the area as well. You know, theaters that hold between, I don't know, 50 and 150 people. And for $20, you can see kind of some really good off the beaten path types of plays and musicals. So, like I said, if you're feeling adventurous, seek out some of those smaller theaters as well. I'd suggest either the Theater in the Round or the Jungle Theater. if you're a outdoors type, there's all kinds of parks and trails in both Minneapolis and St. Paul. Cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, or just kind of walking around and taking in the wintry vibe, that works as well. If you want to venture over to St. Paul, which I would recommend because that's where I live, it's a great town. The Science Museum of Minnesota is great. I'm not sure what their current exhibit is, but there's always something to see there. If you have kids, I can't recommend the Children's Museum, which is right next to the Science Museum, enough. It's really a great place. It's basically a big, giant, four-story indoor playground for kids. And once they step foot in there, they just kind of go nuts and start running around. And it's really a great way to kill 2 or 3 hours if you have kids on a Saturday afternoon or even Sunday morning if you're looking to kill some time before the game.
Okay, Saturday afternoon is over. It's transitioning to Saturday night. Where is a good place to go to eat in the anywhere in the Twin Cities?
Well, if you're with the wife, or maybe if you're with a group of friends, and you're looking for something nice. You know, you're looking for not just bar food or not just the local dive bar. The places, the two places I would go for sure in Minneapolis are Butcher and the Boar and Bar La Grasa. Butcher and the Boar, great steak. They make their own sausages, pork chops. They have 50 different kinds of beer on tap and all the bourbon you can think of. So just a great place to go with your wife if you want a nice dinner, or if you're out with your buddies and just want to eat a bunch of meat and drink a bunch of beer and whiskey. That's the place to go. Bar La Grasa is it's really tough to get into, but if you can, they have great pastas, great Italian meats, and a really good wine selection. And that's kind of a hip, kind of more urban Italian place. If you're looking to kind of more keep things low key, not spend $100 on your meal and drinks, venture out to a place called Matt's Bar in South Minneapolis. They serve Juicy Lucy's, which are hamburgers, or actually cheeseburgers, but the cheese baked right into the actual burger patty. So it's really kind of a off-the-wall type of place. Your options for food are Juicy Lucy's, hot ham and cheese, and beer, and that's it. but really kind of a nice place. And one other place I would recommend in Minneapolis is Nye's. It's a Polish bar and restaurant. You can get pierogies and Polish sausage and beer and all that kind of stuff if you're from a Polish background. If you venture over to St. Paul, Cassetta's is a really nice kind of authentic Italian place in downtown St. Paul. Moscow on the Hill is also another good place in St. Paul. They serve Russian-style food. And if you're looking for a Packers bar, Gabe's in the Como Park area of St. Paul will do the trick. They have a huge room, and it's one of the officially designated Packers bars in the Twin Cities.
Very cool. Okay, we're done eating, and I want to enjoy the Minneapolis or St. Paul nightlife. Where am I going to go for some drinks? And perhaps even, Adam, I think we've discussed on Twitter before, maybe we're both fans of microbreweries. I think you've given me a couple suggestions, and maybe you could expand on that here.
Yeah, if you're looking for microbreweries, Fulton has one in downtown Minneapolis. They make a couple of beers that are good for Minnesota, Lonely Blonde, a Sweet Child Divine, or a couple. That I think Fulton's Brewery is right off of Washington Avenue in downtown Minneapolis. Otherwise, if you're just looking for a places that serve microbrews, really any place you go in downtown Minneapolis, you'll do pretty well there. Just kind of there's the light rail that runs throughout downtown Minneapolis. I would suggest that just hopping on there and getting off at either the Nicollet Mall stop or the Warehouse District stop, and just walking around to the various bars that are around. If you're looking for a specific recommendation, the Loon Cafe, they have excuse me, I'm frogging my throat. The Loon Cafe is always good. They have a good selection of microbrews, also some food. The 508 Bar and Restaurant, they have a good selection of taps. And then there's a new place that just opened up that I haven't been to, but I'm told has over, I think, 75 microbrews on tap. It's called the Ice House in downtown Minneapolis. So that one's come highly recommended to me, but I haven't been there quite yet. Let's see, as far as if you venture to St. Paul, like I said, if you're looking to drink and party, you're probably going to want to stay in Minneapolis. But if you're looking for kind of a more laid-back vibe, and just have a couple of beers and maybe head back to the hotel and chill out for a bit, St. Paul, I would recommend, what's that place called now? Of course, I'm thinking of it. It's slipped my mind. Tiffany's, which isn't far from my place in St. Paul. It's kind of a nice neighborhood type of bar. They have a DJ that night usually, but they have a good selection of micro beers, and the prices are somewhat reasonable. Also, the Groveland Tap is also a nice place for kind of a neighborhood laid-back vibe. You can get a beer for $3 or so, and things don't get too crazy.
Well, if you can't find a suggestion with everything that Adam has thrown out here, then I think you're hopeless. But
I feel like I should be paid by the Minneapolis-St. Paul Tourism Bureau or something.
I think so. So maybe they'll throw a free drink your way at the very least. Maybe one of these places.
I would take it.
Okay, it's Sunday. The game is gonna kick off here at 3:25, I think, is the exact kickoff time. But so you arrive there at, I don't know, around the noon hour. You're going to take in some of the noon NFL games. What's the tailgate scene like around the stadium? Or I mean, maybe if you're your car, you're not going to watch any games. But I mean, tell me, what is the tailgate scene like? Where you should park? Things like that.
Well, if you're coming from Green Bay and you're used to the Lambeau Field tailgating scene and you're expecting that outside the Metrodome, you're going to be very, very disappointed. just to warn you on that one, the Dome, it's in a very urban area, so there's all kinds of small parking lots scattered throughout, you know, the whole area of the Metrodome, and very few of them allow tailgating. So tailgating, I mean, there's various spots to tailgate kind of scattered throughout the general vicinity of the Dome, but there's really no great tailgating scene where you can just kind of walk around and just kind of take in the vibe. Maybe you'll have better luck finding something a few blocks away from the Dome, but as far as right around the Dome, the tailgating scene is pretty lame, actually. What I would recommend, if you're looking for something to do before the game, is just getting on the light rail and heading more towards the downtown area, that Nicollet Mall stop, the Washington Avenue warehouse district stop. Those bars will be pretty busy before the game, and most of the atmosphere you can find it in the actual bars and restaurants. And also, you'll see kind of on the route towards the Dome, you'll see food trucks set up. And I think they have some tap beer areas now too. So if you're walking towards the Dome and you see these trucks set up, they're essentially mini small kind of restaurants on wheels. They're from local restaurants, they're from local farmers, local food growers that set up their operations out of a truck and just kind of drive around the city during the week, park, and then sell their products. I would recommend stopping and getting food from them versus waiting to get into the Metrodome Plaza and buying a burger or something there. If you're buying from a food truck, you know you're probably getting grass-fed beef, you're getting locally grown vegetables, you're locally grown deep-fried whatever it is they might be selling, and it's just going to be a lot better quality than whatever you get outside the Metrodome at the quote-unquote official Vikings tailgate party or whatever they call it. But I guess to make a long story short, if you're looking to walk around the Dome and take in the actual tailgating scene, I think you're going to be disappointed. Your best bet is to venture out away from the Dome a bit and take in some of the bars that are downtown and search out some of those food trucks that they have set up along the route towards the Dome.
You know, Adam, while we're talking about it here, I'm always kind of, I don't know what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings new stadium situation. It seems like it's never fully a done deal. What is the latest on the Minnesota stadium situation, and are we going to be playing at a new place in a few years?
Yep, we will be. Construction, actually ground is going to be broken, I think, this coming summer. And then they're going to play in the Dome, I think, next season. And then the two seasons after that, they're going to be playing outside at the Minnesota Gophers new stadium.
Okay.
And then so that'll be for two seasons outside. And then once the new stadium is complete, which I'm 99% sure is going to have either a permanent roof or a retractable roof, they'll be in that new stadium. And the new stadium is going to be located right where the Metrodome is right now.
Okay.
And that whole thing was cleared up, and that was passed this past session. So, the new Viking stadium is definitely coming. The bad news is it's going to be a dome stadium again. The good news is the Vikings will at least get to taste outdoor football for two seasons when they play at the Minnesota Gophers Stadium.
Talking a little bit about this week's game, I saw your post at allgreenbaypackers.com. I think you wrote yesterday, Adam, And you throw out a poll. Who's going to have the hot hand at running back for the Packers? And, you know, there's a bunch of options, and you laid them all out. And I don't think you really threw out a choice yourself. But if you could, you know, who is going to have the hot hand at running back for the Packers the rest of the way?
I've always been a fan of Alex Green, and I just think what he can bring in the passing game as far as catching dump-off passes from Rodgers is very valuable. I also think he has looked better as far as being more patient recently. It seemed like his first couple of chances to start and kind of get the majority of the carries, he was really excited, and he would just kind of try to blow right into the line, and he would end up tripping over either himself or one of his offensive linemen. But his last couple of games, he's been a lot more patient, I thought, and kind of shown that explosiveness once he does make a decision to cut and go into a hole. And he was hurt last game, obviously, and I want to see what he can do behind Evan Dietrich Smith and Don Barkley now. That's a little bit more power up front for him, and with his hopefully newfound patience, hopefully that means some more seams for him to burst through. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do behind his two new offensive linemen. Now, if I had to pick somebody to catch fire, I would pick Dwan Harris, because I kind of laugh whenever he gets the ball. He's so short, and he almost kind of hides behind his offensive lineman, and then all of a sudden, poof, he just kind of appears, and he's 10 yards down the field. He's fun to watch, but if I had to put money on it, I would guess that Alex Green kind of catches a little bit of fire here, and he's kind of, quote-unquote, the man for the rest of the season, even if that means he's still splitting time with Ryan Grant, Dwan Harris, and who knows about James Starks.
Very good. Give me a prediction for Sunday. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, I was thinking about this, and this is going to sound goofy, and people might laugh at me. The Vikings are kind of like the New York Giants without the quarterback. They have a really strong front four that if they can put pressure on Rodgers with just that front four, it's going to be one of those, you know, 20-17 kind of games where Rodgers is getting chased around all day. And they also have a strong running game, and they have a good tight end that can work the middle of the field. Now, of course, the receivers are nothing like the Giants receivers, but Kyle Rudolph can still work the middle of the field, kind of like those Giants receivers can with Eli Manning. But all that said, it's inside with most of the Packers receivers healthy again. Who knows about Randall Cobb? It's going to be the stakes are high. The Packers don't want to play that wild card round, and they also want to keep a division full out of the playoffs. So I'm going to go Packers 28, Vikings 16.
Very good. Well, Adam, thank you so much for taking quite a few minutes out of your day here to talk to me. We appreciate it. We'll let you get back to work here. Make sure to check out all Adam's work at allgreenbaypackers.com. Thanks a lot, Adam. And are you going to the game?
No, I'm actually going the opposite direction and going to Wisconsin for Christmas on my wife's side of the family.
Well, enjoy it. And once again, Merry Christmas from Railbird Central. And we'll talk to you again sometime.
Take care, Brian.
All right. Thanks a lot. Adam Check of AllGreenBayPackers.com, also a writer for the Associated Press covering the Minnesota sports scene, all sorts of events there, Twins, the Gophers, the basketball team in town, the Timberwolves. Does a great job and covers the Packers at allgreenbaypackers.com. So check out his work. He does a good job and really gave just a ton of suggestions of things to do, places to go, drinks to imbibe. Make sure to do that if you're heading to the game. And I know there's a lot of Packers fans heading over to Minneapolis for a what is going to be a stake-filled game, to say the least. The stakes are high, and I can already see the conversation. It's kind of passed up on the live blog now, but people were debating, do the Packers want to buy? Do they not? You know, this conversation comes up pretty much every time the playoffs come around and the Packers are in contention. And I'm always of the feeling that you want the bye. It gives you time to rest. It gives you time to heal. And, you know, at the very minimum, not to be a pessimist, but at least there's no opportunity to bow out in the wild card round of the playoffs because you are already in the divisional round of the playoffs. So that's, you know, what my feeling is. And I know people will look at, for example, just last year's game and point to, you know, the loss to the Giants in the divisional round after the Packers had a bye. And people are just going to say, well, the bye didn't help them last year. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, you're not going to win every single game. I mean, it's just that's the way life is. You know, I don't think that's evidence of anything because I think you can look at 100 other examples of teams that did win with a bye, and, you know, and the Packers have done that before. So, you know, they need time to rest, recover, recuperate, get some of these injured guys back. And it looks like they're getting a lot of them back this week against the Minnesota Vikings. And that's always good news. You know, this week, at least, it appears that Jordy Nelson will be back. It appears C.J. Wilson will be back. Alex Green, Jarrell Worthy, Tom Crabtree, you know, all these guys coming back this week from appearances. Now, we still might not have Charles Woodson, may or may not have Randall Cobb. And by the way, I'm leaning toward the Packers not having Randall Cobb on Sunday. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to err on the side of caution. I know, of course, the word is today he's going to test his ankle out, and they're not making any decisions prior to that. But, you know, I just don't think they're going to take the chances with Randall Cobb this week when they can rest him and make sure that ankle and the knee are fine for the playoffs, whenever it is the Packers play in the playoffs, whether it's the wild card round or the divisional round. They're going to give Randall Cobb some extra time. They've done that with pretty much every other player, you know, on the roster. So, you know, the only one pretty much guaranteed not to play is Charles Woodson, and that's good. I mean, that means the team's getting healthy. Still kind of holding out hope on a few people. But yeah, I mean, it looks like Jordy Nelson is back. He's been a full participant in practice all week. I would find it hard to believe that he's a full participant and they would hold him out anymore. I think they're ready to go. I think the Packers are going to be motivated to win this game to ensure they get that first round bye because they also don't want to lose to the Vikings and then turn around and play the Vikings the very next week. That's kind of, you know, a little bit anticlimactic, I would say. Packers fans got used to that in 2009 when they, you know, they hosted, I believe, the they went out to Arizona both times, didn't they? Yeah, so they played the Arizona Cardinals in the final week of the regular season, turned around and played them in the wild card round of the playoffs. Packers won the first meeting, ended up getting beat by the Cardinals the very next meeting. So, I mean, just because you win one game doesn't mean you're going to beat them two times. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting situation there. I suppose that gives you hope that if the Packers lose to the Vikings, they could turn around and beat them. But I think most people are hoping for the bye. That's the side I fall in. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, one other piece of news yesterday that I thought was kind of interesting and a good topic for a little debate here is Richard Sherman, Seattle Seahawks cornerback, winning his appeal of his suspension for violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. The word is Richard Sherman had tested positive for Adderall, very similar to what the Green Bay Packers are doing with Mike Neal, or, you know, what he tested positive for. At least that's the word from Mike Neal. There's no official word. The NFL doesn't comment on what players tested positive for. So you're going on Mike Neal's word. I don't think Mike Neal would be lying in terms of what he tested positive for. But there is, you know, perhaps a reason to speculate that maybe he didn't have a prescription. Now Mike Neal says he did. But there's been no confirmation, no proof otherwise than just the person's word. So that's what we're going on right now. It's also very funny that there's another parallel to a situation that played out in the state of Wisconsin. Quite a few months ago now. We're talking 10, 11 months ago, where Milwaukee Brewers outfielder and all-star MVP Ryan Braun had gotten his suspension overturned for basically, the word is testing procedures were violated. You know, that Richard Sherman's cup was leaking that he put his urine sample in. And that, the rules were not followed to a T. And, the arbitrator ruled in Sherman's favor, just as the arbitrator in the Major League Baseball case had ruled in Braun's favor. And both have been overturned. And, it's a very weird situation because you just feel like I understand the hesitancy to believe that these players did not take performance enhancing drugs, because it almost seems as if they're getting off on a technicality. It wasn't necessarily that the sample was clean, but that the testing procedures were done inaccurately. And so that is the deal here with both Sherman and Braun. But again, going back to the Mike Neal parallel here, the comparison in that they are both, allegedly tested positive for Adderall, which is a drug you use to treat attention deficit disorder. And again, the word is Mike Neal had since gotten a doctor's prescription or got the approval of the team. I'm not sure exactly what he needed to do, but he didn't do it right the first time, apparently. And now he's on it and it's all okay and approved by the league. But Mike Neal reacted to the news of the situation yesterday and basically said, he doesn't mind that he had his suspension now that it's done and over with. He thanks the people that suspended him because it has motivated him more or less. He says something to the effect it took the shackles off the beast. And there's no doubt about it. Mike Neal has been playing, since coming back from suspension, and even before, he did have a pretty good training camp in preseason. Mike Neal has played well this season, has been a very, his play has been a benefit to the Packers, and he's done well. I think, what does he have, 4.5 sacks this season? And I think, as I read today, he's played in 10 games this year, which has been the most he's played, the previous two seasons combined. Or his entire year combined. So he's finally staying healthy. There were a couple hiccups along the way. There were kind of some injury scares, I know, with Mike Neal with a shoulder this year. But he missed very little time and has stayed healthy and has helped the Packers' interior pass rush the most of any defensive lineman since Cullen Jenkins left, basically. It's not like he's this great Pro Bowl player yet, but he has, though, provided the Packers with a little bit of push, him and combined with B.J. Raji and the little bit of contribution they're getting from the rookies, Jarrell Worthy, Mike Daniels. They've done a pretty good job with the pass rush from the defensive line this year. So, you know, if Mike Neal is using that as motivation, it's working, and I don't think too many Packers fans are going to complain. The results are what they are, and that's they speak for themselves at this point. It still remains to be seen whether he can keep it up, but there's no reason at this point to believe he can't. So kudos to Mike Neal. You're doing a good job, and keep up the good play. That's the word from Packer fans out there. I think I can speak on behalf of them, and maybe that's a dangerous situation, but he's doing a good job, no doubt about it. I thought that was kind of an interesting story coming out of yesterday, you know, as the news had leaked yesterday that Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks won his appeal. And you know, just kind of interesting there as well, as the Seattle Seahawks are, you know, a hot team and going to make the playoffs, and, you know, some potentials here for the Packers to meet the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs and you know, perhaps get revenge, or they'll be looking for revenge for what happened earlier this season, you know, with the old botch call way back in week 3 on Monday Night Football. Man, that was quite the ordeal and quite the game. And there is potential here to make up for it, but we'll see. We'll see. It's a great time of year, isn't it? You know, as of course, if you've followed me on Twitter, or you know me, listen to me at all, you know I'm a college football fan big time, almost as much as I am the Packers. And it's great right now. There's bowl games on all day long, and we're getting to the heart of it right now. Just yesterday, there were 3 bowl games on. I think there's 3 or 4 more today, and action all year long. It's a great time to be watching future NFL prospects and perhaps potential Packers. I mean, we don't know if we're watching any Packers or not, but I mean, if you watch every bowl game, you're certain to come up across a few of them at least. And you know, this is the time of the year when the attention, I mean, everybody's focused on the Packers yet, at least as long as they're alive in the playoffs. But as soon as that over, attention turns to the draft, because I mean, right now you've got the bowl games, and just in January the All-Star games start, you know, things like the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Game, things like that. Beyond that, you know, then it comes time for the combine and pro days, and this whole monster ramps up here, and we'll be turning our attention to that as soon as the Packers are done. So I think this is a really cool time of year with the bowl games going on and the, you know, the end of the regular season, how much, you know, meaningful games are there, and then we transition to the NFL playoffs and hopefully a Super Bowl appearance. So lots and lots to focus on here at this, you know, the end of December, the beginning of January. Just absolutely, you know, fantastic football time of the year. So enjoy it, folks. Enjoy your Friday. We'll be back again here on Railbird Central on Monday. We'll have Brett Goode once again on the show, as he does every Monday, for the Oh Snap with Brett Goode segment. Which we love him joining us here on the show every week. But enjoy the game this weekend. Enjoy the holidays. You know, hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. I know this is our first show back since Christmas. We missed on Wednesday, but hope everybody has a happy holidays, and we'll see you later. On behalf of John Rahor, sorry I missed John at the beginning of the show. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later, everyone. My name's Brian Kirivu, and I leave you today with a song called Velvet Red by Conspirator on Sci Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.